You're listening to an audio sermon presentation from the Reverend Paul W. Simrell, pastor of Elpis Christian Church, Maidens, Virginia. You can learn more about our congregation and its ministries by visiting elpischurch.org. We also hope that you'll continue to access other sermons, Bible study and meditation materials, resources for pastoral counseling, and more by visiting our church's blog, which can be found at igw3.blog. or paulsimrell.com, or by visiting our congregation's Facebook page. Now, here's today's message. Our scripture verse today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 36th through the 45th verses. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. I don't think there's a way that we can adequately study prayer in all its power without taking a good, long, and hard look at this beautiful, poignant passage of Scripture. These last weeks of Lent, we've been thinking about prayer and looking at some powerful examples that we find of it in the Word of God. Now we come to Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. Jesus is there in the garden. His closest friends and most loyal disciples are there as well. They are waiting. Waiting for the long talked about, much feared moment of betrayal. Clearly, the disciples don't fully comprehend what is about to happen, or why. Or even if they have some inkling of understanding, they are nevertheless sound asleep, because as Jesus puts it so well, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Can you identify with those sleepy disciples? I can. They want to be ready and able to face anything their Lord calls them to face. They want to stand bravely at his side, if not to fight, then to die in faith and courage. They want to be there as an encouragement themselves. But sadly, they fail. They are human and frail and exhausted. I've heard more than one person over the last few days describe their situation in similar bleak, dark terms. COVID-19, it seems, is just getting started. The statistics are grim, and our nation's leaders warn us we are in a marathon, not a sprint. We'd like to think it'll all be behind us in a matter of days or weeks, but it looks like it's going to be with us for some time to come. Church leaders are wondering how best to celebrate Easter when their congregations cannot safely gather. I, for one, agree with the council to stay physically separated for now, if it comes to that. Surely that's a small enough price to pay if it'll keep the virus from spreading. After all, as I've said before, we don't cease to be the church because we cease to sit together on church pews next to each other. Having said that, I wonder how to best keep the faith in dark and uncertain times as these, and that brings us to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus' time spent in prayer that long, lonely night before his betrayal. As we think about how to gather courage for whatever faces us in the days and weeks ahead, let's look at Jesus' prayer as a guideline. We cannot begin to compare anything we're going through with what Jesus went through that night, nor should we. In faithful obedience, he was about to give himself up to horrible abuse and death, to die so you and I and whomsoever would come to him can live. Still, even if we can't begin to fully comprehend what he went through, we can learn from it and find some life application there. First, when Jesus is faced with seemingly insurmountable odds against him, what does he do? Does he first exhaust every possible resource that he has, then finally, in panicky desperation, turn to prayer? No, he goes to prayer first. His request is simple, straightforward, and rips at our heart as we hear those painful words. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Listen to how Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, puts it. Going a little ahead, he fell on his face, praying, My Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You. What do you want? Doesn't that grab you? Doesn't that compel you to see how both very human and yet divine our Lord was in that moment? Faced with a fate he would do anything to avoid, he willingly succumbs, trusting God knows best. What better example can there be for us as we face our own fate, whatever it may be? He prays a second and a third time, each time after finding his friends asleep and unequal to his simple request to watch and wait. Each time, he prays the same prayer, Thy will be done. Chuck Swindoll, in reflecting on Jesus' experience at Gethsemane and how we can learn from it and apply it to our lives, has this to say. Gethsemane, the oil press. Gethsemane is where the real battles will be fought in our lives. The battle over our flesh and our will. We will be pressed and crushed to the point of feeling that our life will be crushed out of us. The struggle for Jesus was not at Calvary, it was at Gethsemane. Please hear us out on this. Yes, Jesus suffered while facing Herod and Pilate. Yes, Jesus suffered while being beaten and whipped. Yes, Jesus suffered while carrying the cross. Yes, Jesus suffered when the nails were driven into his body. Yes, Jesus suffered while hanging on the cross. Yes, Jesus suffered while being mocked. Yes, Jesus suffered as he died on the cross. Yes, Jesus paid the price for sin when he died the second death on the cross. But when it came to all these events, and ultimately death on the cross, Jesus did not struggle to do the Father's will. Jesus' struggle and battle was at Gethsemane. Because he suffered and struggled at Gethsemane, he was able to do the Father's will. It is the same for us. If we will go through Gethsemane, we are more than willing to take up our cross. What is the Gethsemane experience? Gethsemane is when we are confronted with God's will and our will. It is when we go through some of the most trying times in our life. We will be overwhelmed with emotions, emotions of which some will call negative emotions. However, are these emotions negative if they lead us to the Father and they ultimately help us to be more like Jesus? Don't run from Gethsemane. Embrace it. Jesus entered the garden knowing the turmoil waiting for him. He knew he had to go through Gethsemane in order to have the willpower to go to the cross. Word of advice, don't try and stop people from going through their Gethsemane. You are only doing them a disservice. True love. Love like the Father of God toward his Son allows a person to go through Gethsemane, the oil press. Are you at the Garden of Gethsemane? Be comforted to know that your Heavenly Father is with you and will send his angels to minister to you. Swindle's words are challenging, to be sure, but don't they offer honest comfort as well? As a pastor and pastoral counselor, I'm often asked the same question, though it is framed 1,000 different ways in 1,000 different circumstances. What do I do, Pastor? How do I fix this? How do I make things right? How do I get out of this mess I'm in? Sometimes it's framed this way. Why is this happening to me? It just isn't fair. I don't deserve this. Where is God? Sometimes it's just the opposite. I know I deserve this, but I just don't think I can take it. Isn't there some easier way out? For all my years in ministry, I've tried to answer the same way. God is the way. It may not seem like it right now. It may be a complete mystery to you. It may not make any sense to you right now. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust him. Follow him. Listen to him. Follow his example, as hard as it is to do right now. Thy will be done. Is it an admission of defeat? Is it throwing our hands up in the air or sitting down in a helpless way or pulling the covers over our head, trying to ignore reality and just go to sleep? Hoping that when we wake up, the nightmare will be over? No, I don't think so. I think it's just the opposite. To put it in the language our friends in the recovery community know so well, it is admitting we are powerless. That is, under our own steam and limited resources. But we are not helpless, because we have a higher power, God, who cannot be defeated. Thy will be done. Though I don't understand it, though I don't like it, though it terrifies me, thy will be done. And so often, if we can utter those words as our Lord once did, not just in Gethsemane, but while hanging on the cross, what happens? Peace happens. Suddenly we realize that our Heavenly Father is not only willing, but is abundantly able to carry us through whatever it is we must face right now. I invite you, wherever you are today, however it is that you're listening to these words, whatever your current circumstances are, to pray that prayer. It is the most powerful prayer in the universe. It appeals to the most powerful one in the universe. Thy will be done. May it be so. Amen.